All right, let's all grab a seat this morning. Very good. Who's glad they're here today? Who's miserable? Anyone? Hands up. No, I'm only joking. Don't tell me. Have you noticed all that stuff they're doing on Tonkin Highway at the moment around near the airport in between Terminal 1 and 2 and 3 and 4? Have you noticed all the changes in the roadworks there? What I noticed this week as I was driving past, I don't know if you've seen this, they have this place where you can go and watch the aeroplanes descend into the airport. Who's seen that? Yeah. Oh, Mark, of course, it's been there forever, Mark. Whatever. So rude. This is church. You've got to be nice to me. So I was driving past the other day, and they're how do you describe an aeroplane? It's quite magnificent sometimes. A huge amount of force and wind and noise, and there's these, are they nerds that sit there and watch aeroplanes? Are they? No, they're not, are they? No, because some of you have done it, haven't you? I was watching these guys watching the aeroplanes descend. And I thought a little bit about that. And I just, something struck me about it. There's some guy, some person, some operator in that tower, and they're telling those aeroplanes what to do. And there's three scenarios that strikes me that they could tell the person in that plane what to do. Firstly, come in, come home, welcome to the airport, land your plane. First option. Second option, hey, you need to circle around a bit. Just start there for a bit, serve some more complimentary drinks, whatever you need to do. But you just need to circle in the airspace above the airfield. Third option, nick off. You don't belong here. I don't want you in my airspace at all. Just go, just leave. As you process in your life, the people that you invite into your life. This morning we're going to go to some really funny and some different places. Before we even sort of get going, I just want you to have that thought in your mind. Who are you allowing? Do you even know you got a choice? You ever thought about the fact you even have a choice in that? Who are you letting come in? Who are you allowing to land and be with you? Who are you welcoming into your life? Who are you saying, just stay there, just circle around a bit. Just stay in my vicinity at some point. I might let you in. I might let you land. And then who are you saying, you know what? This is my airspace. You're not good for me. I don't want you here. You're actually not a part of my life. You know, you've actually got choice in who you allow to speak into your life. I wonder if you ever thought about that before. Because sometimes it seems like people just circle around and land and presume, and they're let in to that really private, special part of your life where they have influence and they say stuff to you. I wonder if you've ever thought about part of growing up, part of maturing is understanding that you've actually got, you're actually in the control tower of your life. And how do you know where to put someone? How do you understand that? Who should you be letting in? Who should be speaking into your life? Who do you let land? How do you know who to let land? Story this morning. Oh, my. So I asked our drummer this morning. Sorry, Mark Entwistle, but you're in it. He's a school teacher. I said to him, can I use the word arse on stage? And Mark said, oh, I just did. And Mark said, yes, you can. So you can. Oh, mate, no one's laughing. No one's with me. Oh, boy, this is not going well. Let's go with the other phrase. This morning we're talking about a donkey on a donkey. Okay? We're not talking about an ass on an ass. Is that shocking? Is that really bad? Hands up if you think that's really bad. I want some reaction this morning. Thank you, Lois. This is really bad. Shall we go with donkey on a donkey? Amen? I'm going to go with the other one if you don't let me go with that. I want some reaction. Shall we go with donkey on a donkey? Donkey on a donkey. Right. We're talking about a donkey on a donkey this morning. It is one of the most bizarre. In fact, I think if there's five bizarre stories in the Bible, this has got to be in the top five. This has got to be there. This story, when we get to, if you don't know the story, you'll hear it in a minute. But it's got to be one of the most bizarre stories in the whole of the Bible. The most interesting stories in the whole Bible. And not even for the major reason, but for a whole lot of minor reasons as well. So the situation is this. The people of Israel are moving towards the promised land. And they're coming in like a swarm. You know, they've come out of Egypt. And if you don't know the story, in Egypt they were slaves. They were downtrodden. They had to make bricks for the Egyptians. And they don't feel great about themselves. But now they're moving into the promised land and they've received the Ten Commandments and they're God's chosen people, right? So they're starting to feel a bit of strength. But not only are they starting to feel strength, but the people around them are noticing this as well. So they're marching into the promised land and there's this king and he sees them coming in to his land. Problem is, of course, there's a problem because this is the land that God has said is your land because you are God's chosen people. And this king sees these people coming towards them. And this is what he says. The king of Moab, he said to the elders of Midian, that's his land, "This mob will devour everything in sight like an ox devours grass in the field." He looks out over the fields and he sees this mob of people coming towards him and they're just going to destroy the grass. Like a cow would eat up the grass, they're going to eat up him. He's established his kingdom. He's got everything he wants in place. And he looks out his window of his palace. He sees these people. What is he going to do? He's full of fear, full of anxiety, full of worry. Something which he presumed was his is now going to be taken from him. He's scared of these people. This is a new thing for the people of Israel, to have a nation that is actually scared of them. But you think God was with them. And when what God had promised them, that he was going to deliver. What God had promised, he would deliver. And they were going forth. They had to march. They had to move forward. They had to go into, they had to do something. But at the same time, that which they could not do, God was going to do for them. So they had to do something, but God was doing something even greater. And their whole situation, their whole name was being changed. They'd gone from being slaves to now they are being conquerors. And this heathen king looks out his window and he is scared. What is he going to do? He's going to go to what he knows. He's going to call up the one guy he knew, and this is, I never realized until I studied this passage this week, but there's something that's so interesting about the donkey on the donkey. This is what happens. "Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and are threatening me. Please come." He's talking to Balaam. He's talking to the prophet. "Please come and curse these people for me because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I'll be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on any people you bless and curses fall on people you curse." He's talking to Balaam. You want to know something interesting? I didn't realize this before. I never actually thought about it. If I'd thought about it, maybe I would have known. Do you know that Balaam wasn't even an Israelite prophet? He wasn't a God-fearer. He wasn't a God-follower. Yet, he is someone that actually is hearing from God. He's very well known in the area. He's very wealthy. And he hears from God. Does he actually hear from God? Well, actually, he does. You think about how we talk about our faith. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. You think about how much we struggle to hear from God. Follow God, do all the right things, go to church, you will hear from God. Here is a guy that is driven by profit. He's a prophet for profit. Thank you. He's a prophet for profit. And yet he's hearing from God. He actually is. Something else that is so extraordinary about this passage. He says, "I want you to come, I want you to bless, I want you to curse these people." Because when you curse someone, they are cursed. Do you know how powerful your words are? Do you know how powerful that words are? Do you know how powerful your words are? Your ability to bless someone, even to curse someone. The Israelite narrative, their story is that you don't curse anyone. Only God is allowed to pronounce judgment on someone. You're meant to bless someone. The children brought to the son, brought to the grandfather. He speaks words of life and words of blessing over them. When my father was dying, I brought my children to him and asked him to pray a blessing over them. He was a very spiritual man, my dad. And I wanted them to have a blessing from him before he died. I wanted him to speak words over their life. You may think, you may say, oh, that's a beautiful family moment. It's emotional. There's something that happens there. You know what? Yeah, sure, that's all fine. That's all good. There is something deeply spiritual. We are entering beyond the physical. We're going into the spiritual realm with your words. There is something very deep that happens there. There is something that happens in the heavenly, in the spiritual realm, with the Spirit of God, that happens with your words. Corinthians, we read that we will judge the angels. As believers, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Your words are incredibly powerful. I can only say it. I can't make you understand it. I can't make you get it. I can't make you believe it. But it is absolutely true. Here is a heathen prophet, a soothsayer who was well known in that region. He's not even, I don't think, a follower of God. And yet he is hearing from God. And this king, this military king, realizes and understands that when he speaks, something incredible happens. There is spiritual stuff that is going on in this story. And we live in a spiritual world. You live in a spiritual world. Sojourners, traveling through. Man, your words are powerful. I know that blessings fall on any people you bless, and curses fall on people you curse. This king, in his fear, looks out, sees this incredible army that is bigger than what he can handle, and goes to this prophet to ask him to speak words. It's an incredible story. God told Balaam, "Do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed." The next morning, Balaam got up and told Balak, that's the king, "Go on home. The Lord will not let me go with you." There's so much here for us to unpack and so much for you to understand here. In that he goes to God and he asks God, says, "Will you please give me the power to curse these people?" I mean, these people are God's people, right? They're the promised people. God has brought them out of Egypt. He's instituted the Passover with these people. They've crossed through the Red Sea. They've defeated the Egyptian army. They're going into their promised land. And yet Balaam comes to them, comes to God and says, "Can you please curse these people?" There's something about that. I want you to press into that. I think there are, why is God saying, "No, I'm not going to curse them"? Well, because it wasn't God's will and it wasn't what God wanted to do at that point. These are God's people. But I don't want you to miss something here. There are moments, stay with me, where God, in quotes, changes his mind. Now, God is unchanging. His ways are always set. I know that. But there is something here. Because Moses goes to God and other people go to God and say, "But God, you're a gracious God. You were going to curse these people. You were going to wipe them off the face of the earth. But God, you're a merciful God. Please don't do that." And God actually changes what he was going to do. I believe something really strongly. I believe you should remind God about the promises that he's made to you. I believe you should remind God about who you are, about who he is, about what he said he will do. I believe you need to remind him. I do not believe for one moment that because God knows everything, and he does know everything, that you are then allowed to sit back and do nothing. Oh, nothing's happened. God is good. God loves me. He knows it all. Therefore, now I'm frustrated that God hasn't done what he said he would do. Well, grow up. Ooh, that hurts, doesn't it? That's true. Are you a child? Are you a baby? You open your mouth, you cry, someone puts food into your mouth. Is that what you want to be? Is that where you want to stay? Is that where you want your spiritual life to remain? No. It's so clear from the scriptures. I want to go back to the Lord's Prayer. The disciples come to Jesus. Lord, how do we pray? Jesus gives them a model of how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Hold not things against us. Forgive us. I need to remind God to forgive me. I need to remind God to give me. Doesn't he know I need daily bread? I want us to push God. What I love about this passage and about this story is the fact that God just doesn't smite him right there on the spot for his arrogance and for him going against God's will. Did he not know these were God's people? How could he ask God for that? I love his audacity. And I love the fact that he asks for something which really he should have known that God wasn't going to say yes to. But I actually love that. And I love it because it tells me that when I pray to God for something, I'm not quite sure if it's right, then it's up to God whether he's going to say yes, no, maybe, or wait. Leave it up to God. I also love the fact, because here is the thing. We sometimes think that, oh, you've got to be super spiritual to hear from God. You've got to be in line with his will. You've got to have not sinned for 3 weeks and 2 days, and then God is going to hear you. Here is a guy that is asking the wrong thing for wrong motives, is not even a believer, and God still speaks to him. God has something for you. It's time for you to actually rise up. Believe that. Own that. It's something to say to you. If he will speak to Balaam, if he will take Balaam's prayer, which wasn't even a good prayer, he will take whatever it is. All I want to say is that's a really low base. That's a really low standard. God's grace is amazing. God's grace is incredible. God's dealing with us is so gracious. Go on home. The Lord will not let me go with you. The story goes on. I will pay you. This is the king speaking to Balaam. I will pay you very well and do whatever you tell me. Just come and curse these people for me. Here in this moment, Balaam is torn. He's heard from God. God has said no. How does that all happen? That he actually hears from God and goes, did God send him a memo? What happened in this moment? I really don't know. It makes me wonder sometimes at the Bible, you know, because it says God spoke and it said this is what God said. But how did that? I wish I knew all that stuff. I want to dive deep into that. Just come and curse these people for me. Balaam is full of doubt. He wants the cash. He's a prophet for profit. Responded to Balak's message. Even if Balak wants to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord my God. I'm going to make a point about that in a minute. Just hold on. But stay here one more night and I will see if the Lord has anything else to say to me. Do you see how he's doing? But I'm just going to say, just in case God changes his mind, because man, I want that cash. That's what's happening here. I want the money. So just in case, I know not God's not going to change his mind. I know this is what he said, but just in case, I'm going to stay here. You know what I love about this? And it just blows us. It blows us Christians. It blows what we do out of the park. I would be powerless to do anything against what? Can we say that? The will. I'd be powerless to go against the will of the Lord my God. So why then do we pray according to your will? Why do we do that? I do it. Why don't we pray according to your will? Lord, but according to your will. Lord, do this, please. Provide for me, care for my family, lead these people to Jesus, help this sickness to go, bring someone into my life that's going to help me with this, whatever it is. But according to your will. Why do we pray that? Why do we pray according to your will? If it's according to God's will, it will happen. If it's not according to God's will, God will say no. Leave the yes, leave the no, leave the maybe up to God. Leave it up to God. Stop making excuses for God. Stop trying to save God's reputation. God will do what God will do. Your job is to pray. Your job is to press in and ask. If you ask with bad motives, God won't give it to you. If you ask something which he doesn't want to do, he won't do it. Is it up to you whether it happens or not? No, it's up to you to ask. That's your job. That's my job. We ask. I'm going to leave it up to God. God, please heal this person. God, please get me the job that I want and need. God, please speak to this person. Bring my brother to Jesus. Help these children to come up to know you, Jesus. Not according to your will. Just, Lord, this is what I'm asking. I'm not going to make excuses for God. If God doesn't want to do it, he won't do it. So the next morning, hold on to your hats. So the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, and started off with the Moabite officials. But God was angry. It's an angry God that Balaam was going. So he sent the angel of the Lord, maybe Jesus, to stand in the road to block his way. As Balaam and two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey, here it is. Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted off the road into a field, but Balaam beat it. Oh my goodness. Come on. Balaam beat the donkey and returned it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at the place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by it, and it crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Sucked in Balaam. So Balaam beat the donkey again. He beats the donkey. Story goes on. Then the angel of the Lord moved further down the road and stood in a place. This is like an episode of Shrek. This is Eddie Murphy braying and talking aloud and being silly. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm imagining in this scene. When I get to heaven, I get that VCR, I'm going to roll back. I want to see this scene. This time when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. So the donkey sees Jesus prefigured. It sees the angel of the Lord. Balaam doesn't see Jesus. The donkey doesn't want to go forward. The donkey is smart. Balaam is a donkey. He's not smart at all. Balaam, in a fit of rage, he beats the animal again with his staff. And now we come to one of the most unusual pieces of scripture in the whole of the Bible. And I am not a scientist. I cannot tell you how this happened. I can't tell you how a man went into a fish and was swallowed and stayed alive for 3 days. I can't tell you how an axe head floated on the water. I can't tell you how Jesus turned water into wine. I can't tell you how Jesus spoke and the world came into being. I can't tell you how Jesus rose from the dead. I can't tell you any of the miracles and how they happened. This has to be among the most ridiculous. It has to be among the most ridiculous. How did it happen? Did the donkey suddenly have a human larynx? Did the donkey suddenly his brain turned into language that Balaam could understand? I don't know how it happened. The Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. What have I done that deserves you beating me 3 times? It asked Balaam. What have I done that you are beating me like this? You have made me look like a fool. I think you did that all by yourself, brother, Balaam said. If I had a sword with me, I would kill you. he's angry Balaam, angry God. Why was God angry? Didn't he say to Balaam that you could go off to that city? Didn't he give Balaam permission? If you want to go, you go. I wonder if it's a bit like a parent. You told your kids to clean their room. They say, I've got to go to my friends. And you go to them, well, if you want to go to your friends, go to your friends. And then you're angry at them because they didn't clean their room like they were told. I wonder if there's something in that. Well, you have freedom to do this. It's not what I wanted you to do, but you have freedom to do it. You can do it. You can go. But he went. He should have known better. He had a privilege that all of us here would probably be really pursuing to actually hear direct from God what God actually had to say. He had an incredible privilege, which he just let slide. And God is then angry at him because he does what he should have known better not to do. I am the same donkey you've ridden all your life, the donkey answered. Have I ever done anything like this before? And this is the best thing in the whole story. There's Balaam's there. He's got angry. Ever seen someone angry and you can't laugh at them? You know, ever had? I was talking to someone the other day and they were telling me about their younger brother. And every time they go and play golf, the younger brother wraps a club around a tree. Every single time. It's like you get frustrated at your own inability to hit that stupid white ball where you want it to go. And so the stupid club that's in your hand, obviously, it's the club's fault. Obviously. So the club deserves to get wrapped around the tree. Why would that not be the truth? Of course, that inanimate object, it's of course it's the donkey's fault. Of course, the donkey deserves to be beaten. The fact the donkey was trying to save his life. The fact that the donkey saw the angel of the Lord and he didn't. His anger is so misdirected. It's so funny. No, Balaam admitted. You've never done that before. And something just switches in the story here. He comes to the realization that maybe he's the one that's been operating like a fool the whole time. Can I just go back to the donkey for a minute? Because I want to speak to you if you're feeling, because I really want to press it in. I just want to bring anyone here this morning. If you've ever, even now, if you're saying to yourself, I don't hear from God, that is for someone else. I don't get to be part of God's narrative and God's story. I'm just here just for the crumbs. If that's your level of insecurity, which is, by the way, it's okay. It's actually okay. Because I think we've all been there at some point if we're not there at the moment. But I just want to speak to anyone this morning that is feeling like you enjoy being here. You enjoy the singing. You enjoy being part of the fellowship. And you do think you're a Christian. But the experience of actually hearing from God, you've never actually believed that was for you. Let me just help you with that belief for a moment. Can I do that? Here is a donkey. Here is a donkey that saw Jesus. Here is a donkey that was given the ability to speak. Here is a donkey that was able to challenge, rebuke, and lead to repentance, the prophet. You are far more than that. You are far more. You are far more than that. God's desire is that you would hear his voice. God's desire for you is that actually you would be part of the story. Every single person. And right now, if you're struggling with that, if that's actually your story, well, yeah, but I've done this and I've messed up and I'm a bit of a fraud. And if you knew stuff about me, you wouldn't say that. This is a belief. This is, if that's a blockage, this is a blockage destroyer. Because this is a donkey man that hears from God and is part of the story of God, part of the narrative. and has an incredible role to play. What happened to the donkey? We don't know. Where'd the donkey come from? We don't know. What happened? It was a female donkey, by the way. What happened to her afterwards? We don't know. But we do know for this piece of scripture, the part of her story is amazing and unique. And God's creation is glorified and shouts out as part of the story of God. It's beautiful, actually. And that's a story for all of us. It's a story for you. It's a story for me. The Lord opened Balaam's eyes. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword. He bowed his head face down. "Why'd you beat your donkey those three times?" the angel of the Lord demanded. "Look, I've come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I certainly would have killed you and spared the donkey." Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord, "I've sinned. I didn't realize you were standing in the road to block my way. I will return home if you are against my going." Yep, that's a pretty good conclusion to make, Balaam. God is against you going. He sent a donkey to tell you that. Here's the thing about the aeroplane story at the start of the message. I believe with all my heart that God wants to speak into your life and give you words to help you know who you should be living your life with, who you should be letting in, who should be speaking into your life. I believe you have choice about that. I believe you have choice about who you're going to let land. Sometimes God is going to send someone into your life that you're actually not going to let land. You're not going to let them come in and speak words into your life and you know, be part of your inner circle of trust. But actually, they're going to be there in that airspace. They might even be a difficult person. They might even be someone that you can see has real issues. And if you let them too close, they're going to harm you. But God may very well be saying to you, actually, you can't send them away. They're there for a reason. They're actually there for the purpose. Can I say something? I really want to say this. If you try to get people out of your life that offend you all the time, sometimes you being offended is actually going to stop you from receiving from God everything that He has for you. Sometimes you actually are going to need people in your life that potentially are going to offend you because they're actually going to be teaching you some lessons about yourself. And maybe they're actually there for you to help. Are you going to let them right in? Are you going to let them really close? Are you going to let your guard down with them? No. Are you going to tell them to go away and not be part of your life? No, you're not going to do that either. In fact, there are going to be people that are going to be circling around in your life. They're going to be there because God wants to teach you some stuff. He has some lessons for you to learn and for them to learn as well. There are going to be some other people in your life that are just toxic. And maybe it's you. Maybe it's you that just can't be with them because of the issues they bring up in you. And you need to send them away. But here's the thing about all that. And here's the story even about this Balaam story. Is God wants to talk to you about all that stuff. God wants to speak to you about all those things. It's for you. Father, thank you so much for this amazing story in the Bible. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together and laugh together. It's good for the people of God to laugh together. It is good for us to be authentic and real and hear stories about struggle and anxiety and all those other things. Father, I want to pray for the best in every one of us. I want to pray right now for that person here. And if that is you, you just receive this now, okay? Just get yourself ready to receive. I want to pray for that person here this morning that doesn't believe. Maybe they know in their head, but they haven't realized in their heart. Maybe they haven't crossed over. They would say they're a Christian, but the idea of hearing God's voice for them is not something that they have the faith to believe in. Lord, Holy Spirit, we speak to you right now. Holy Spirit of God, I want to remind you, Lord, of your promises that you will indwell your people. God, I want to remind you of your promise that you will speak to us, each one. Lord, you have promised, you promised the disciples and you promised the church that you would never leave us and you would never forsake us. Lord, there are times where we want to tell you that sometimes we feel left and forsaken. Sometimes we feel, Lord, that you're real for someone else, but not for us. Right now, in a spirit of faith, we just accept, Lord God, and we confess that you are for every one of us. Your Holy Spirit has a word for every person here today. Lord, I want to pray for that person that hasn't yet decided to follow you with their whole heart. Who is struggling to obey you. Lord, we know that obedience leads to blessing. We know that obedience leads to us knowing peace and joy and love. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that is struggling to obey,